Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whenever and wherever you might be listening. My name's Will Stevens, and you're listening to Backfield Banter, a podcast about baseball, training, and all things sports. We're here today with Zach McLeod, Bob Zimmerman, and the man of the hour, John Means.
You were, like, kind of figured out some stuff to throw a little harder, so maybe talk a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, I think I figured out how to throw, you know, up in the zone and play to my strengths more so and kind of learn that. And that was after, that was when I went to B3. So I went out there because I had two teammates, one in Double A, one in Triple A, both in, I think it was 17 and 18, both had mentioned P3, and they're like, yeah, we go out there, it's awesome. And so I'm like, okay, St. Louis isn't that far away, like, I'm gonna go out there, go try it out. And so I went out there and met with the Forrest Hermann, and Austin Miney was out there, and
who are now both with the Orioles.
Yes, and Mitch Plasmeyer was still playing, and now he's the assistant pitching coach with the Orioles. Go out there, and I throw my, like, assessment day. I go, and this was actually before I got called up. So this is after the season was over in AAA. I drove through St. Louis from Norfolk, Virginia, to do my assessment. And so I did my assessment. I was sitting 82. Like, I was as hard as I could, 82, 83. I did not know how to use my body at all, at all. He's like, well, obviously velo is going to be a important factor.
Have you ever considered throwing harder?
Yeah, we're going to work on that. That off season, that was the main thing. Get into weighted balls. Never done weighted balls before. Did that. Did like the biomarker thing and analyzed mechanics. By the end of the offseason, I had touched like 93 in indoors. The hardest I'd ever thrown up to that point was like 93. So like, okay, I hit like my PR, like that's pretty good. So we had let go of everybody with the Orioles at this point. We had brought in a whole new regime, GM from the Astros, and they had like a pitch grading system, and they had, you know, we actually figure out what spin rate is now and like how to use it instead of it being just, you know, this is your average fastball, 2200. It's like, okay, this is how your fastball moves. It rises, and your slider doesn't. Your changeup also rises. We're going to have to work on that, but but get to that point. So I start to realize, like, okay, like, this is good. I got that P3 help. They kind of told me the same thing because we were using TrackMan there. And then go to the Orioles. It was a nice, like, transition into, like, a new regime of they're trying to bring that into the org, too. And all these other guys, it was new to them. So kind of went in. First game, I was 92 to 95, and I had never hit, like I said, never hit above 93 before, and ride the ball a lot already, and so, you know, I kind of blew up whatever system they had at that point. They're like, oh, your white pitches are blue.
Which, this is great.
Yeah, this is like, you have above average stuff, and the whole time I was like, I have average stuff. I need to, like, learn how to pitch, but, and so it was a nice transition in 92, 95, and then that spring training, I was, like, I got crushed last year. I got added to the 40-man super late. I was definitely one of those, like, DFA candidates going to spring training, but ended up throwing pretty hard, and I was, like, waiting all camp to see if I would get sent down. Like, all these, you know, other guys are getting sent down. I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting, and I don't even know if I got told I made the team, but they never told me to go home, so I was like, I'm just going to hop on the flight.
I guess I'm here,
so I'm gonna hop on the flight. And so I did, and we go to New York. So Fenway Park in New York were the first parks to go to, which is crazy, but I was in the bullpen for the first month.
Yeah, and then you don't have to be humble, 2019 pitch super well and make an all-star team.
Yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
And that was, it kind of brings you back to the changeup. The changeup is my best pitch now and has been since 2019. But when analytics, you know, when we started to use, like, the pitch movement and profiles, like, my changeup rises. It should not be good. Like, you're supposed to kill the vert, not have vert. I was working on a splitter in spring training. Like, I was working on something to
just
work
go
on.
Down, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And I always have a straight changeup, but I was working with one of the coaches of him trying to kill. And this was the first time I had got into, like, pitch design. Like, before this new regime and before I went to P3, it was like pitch design was kind of like, no, you have what you have.
Don't,
like,
change it.
I tried to, going back a little bit, but I tried to throw a slider because I'm like, okay, no one's swinging at my curveball. Like, I need something hard that moves. I'm going to work on a slider. And no, we don't want you messing with anything. And I'm like, I got a 4.5 in double A.
I gotta get better. Stop that.
I gotta figure this out or I'm gonna get sent home. My pitching coach at the time called it a hard curveball on the report. Because he had to write the report and he's like, you can throw it, just we're gonna call it a hard curveball. And so that was when I started with it, which ended up being like my best pitch at that time. I think in my debut I threw 20 of them out of the 40 pitches I threw or something like that. And make the team in New York. That was a wild experience. The opening day, Yankee Stadium, coming from Norfolk was nuts. I remember walking out to the bullpen and it was like the whole bleacher creatures like over the bullpen. They like hang over the bullpen and it's like everyone's flipping us off, screaming.
Beer thrown off.
Yeah, just like all of it. I'm like, this is the big league. This is my welcome to the big league moment. I don't end up pitching until the third game. And then coming in the third game, barely feel my legs. Went 1-1, and then we're in the third game, and I come in bases loaded.
No pressure.
Bases loaded, one out, I think. Bases loaded, one out. I have like a 15 pitch at bat with Brett Gardner. Like, it is just foul
underrated
ball.
Underrated hitter. He is.
After foul ball. Yeah, he was tough out for me. But just foul ball, foul ball, foul ball, foul ball. And he had homered off me in spring training, too. And so I'm like, gosh, dang it. And so I end up walking him. So I walk a run home. And then I get face Aaron Judge, single to right field, another two runs. So I cash the three runs that I have on base, unfortunately.
Still got a cash. Zero by your name.
Sorry about it, buddy.
Sorry. And then I strike like the next guy out or something. And then, well, that was when I started throwing the changeup. And I threw the changeup and I was like, swing and miss. I was like, I don't. And my changeup has always been like my fourth pitch in the minor leagues. Like, it was never like a good pitch for me. I was a fastball slider guy when I debuted. And
fastball, hard curveball.
Fastball, hard curveball.
Yeah.
And so I throw this changeup, and they're just like swing and miss after swing and miss. I'm like, what is going on? But I'm going to keep throwing this. Because I'd always thrown the straight change, but it was always like 85 when I threw 88. Like, it was like 3 miles an hour off. But I was working with one of our pitching coaches on pitch design, and he was like, let's try scraping the inside part of it. Try killing that velo. And because, like you said, it rose. So he's like, let's try to get a little more run on it. And so I did that, got no more run on it, but it killed the velo. And I was like, 82, but I was sitting 92, and so just swing and miss every swing and miss. I'm like, well, this is cool, and I just keep throwing it over and over again. And then I was like the guy out of the bullpen after that game. I ended up giving a home run to Gary Sanchez, unfortunately.
Was that when
too many changeups?
Was that when he was like popping off the Sanchez at the time?
Yeah, he was.
I think it was.
We gave up a lot. Yeah, he hit a lot of homers against us in 19. But ended up doing really well. I went like over three innings and got the win. That was my first win, so that was really cool.
In Yankee Stadium.
In Yankee Stadium.
God bless you.
Yeah, and got the whole like beer shower after. It was cool. Awesome. And we won the series too. Like, not only that, we won the series on that. So it was a cool welcome to the big leagues moment. Just kept on the change up and it worked.
Bob, do you have any? I'm not a pitcher, so maybe you guys can talk a little bit more about like the pitch design stuff.
It's you have to. Especially now, you have to. You have to try to create something that makes you unique.
Yeah, and I think a lot of guys don't understand their stuff. And I think the first step to improving your stuff or using your stuff at a better clip is understanding what your stuff does or how it should play. Mm-hmm. And once you understand that, then you keep using the word pitch design, then you can design things like off of your pitches. Like, how are we going to use this changeup off of what his fastball does? Or how are we going to use his fastball in the zone because of how it plays? And I think so many people don't understand their stuff. And like you said, like, I was told the same thing. Hey, throw down and away. Establish down and away. Mm-hmm. Heater only down and away. And then I would miss up all the time and get swings and misses. Yeah. I'd get yelled at. Like, I'd punch a guy out and I'd come in.
Not a good
pitch. And they're like, you cannot throw that ball. You will never pitch at a higher level if you can't get the ball down. And I'm like, I was trying. I'm sorry. Struck the guy out. Like, so, like, I think this, you know, old, like, adages of, like, just being stuck in our heads of, like, you have to do this has, like, hurt so many pitchers that probably would have been super successful if they just had better usage. Like, not even, like, changing their stuff. Like, just use your stuff to its best effect.
Yeah.
And I think, like, at least for us, like, when we're trying to help other guys, whether it's pro guy or 12-year-old, like, we're trying to, hey, this is what your stuff does. This is how we should use it so that they understand what they're doing and they can understand how to move forward with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that, you made a good point. Like, you have to know yourself, and then you can make adjustments along with that to open up even more because most guys, especially at the pro level, it's like you have something that you probably do really well, especially now, like you have something you do well. How do we use that even better? Correct. Because like using these other pitches to get to that pitch. And sometimes when you do create another pitch, that becomes your best pitch. And correct. Then you have both of them and it's
or they opens get everything. Because each pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Or hey, you're throwing it to this spot and it doesn't work in that spot, but it's super successful here.
Mm-hmm.
Like change where you're throwing it. And there's often such little minute things that can make a guy, you know, go from where you were at to all of a sudden you have an all-star season because of a couple little things. I mean, granted, the velo got harder.
Yeah.
But understanding how to use your fastball, making the changeup play better off it, and it just opened everything up a lot better.
Yeah. Okay. Kids need to really understand that more than anything. Yeah. It's you're going to have to learn how to tinker. Like, you're going to have to learn even the best pitchers in the league are tinker. Like, they're constantly trying to figure out new things. Yep. To add in to be able to open things up. Like, you know, even Garrett Cole is learning how to throw a harder slider. Or like Scherzer, like these guys that have pitched well, like their whole career, they're still trying to tinker here and there. And that was what was cool about the All-Star game. There's certain pitchers, like All-Star every year pitchers, that would go up to a kid that's his first time and be like, how do you throw that slider? Like, how do you throw that? I remember there was a really, really unbelievably good pitcher went up to Jose Berrios and was like, how do you throw that? And Jose Berrios is taking it through. And it's like, this is really cool. Like, this isn't just like egos in this room. It's more so guys like nerding out, trying to figure out the next step into their career. And if you're not doing that, you're going to find yourself behind.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, learning from each other is always the best way to learn.
Yeah, I mean, Danny talked about that with a teammate of his that said they want you to sweep it. Here's how you throw a sweeper. And he was like, oh, is this how you throw it? He goes, no, I just know a guy that does it.
I don't even throw one.
And then he threw it, and it was like, now it's his best pitch. And Dakota talked about that with Adam Wainwright. That was like, oh, you like, have you ever tried to throw this, you know, one seam? And then now that's like his best pitch. And so I think that's really important. And you guys do it in here, too. Like the other day, Danny and Dakota were playing catch, and Dakota was helping Danny with something. And they were just kind of talking back and forth. And he's like, this is how you get better in the big leagues. You know, play catch with guys and then you kind of help each other out and stuff like that. So is there any guys that kind of come to mind?
Yeah, there's coaches, players. I mean, Scott McGuff is one that showed me he was with the Arizona last year, but showed me the slider in Double-A. Like, that was all the way back in Double-A. And that was like the hard curveball.
Hard curveball.
Yeah. Don't he's like, just throw it like this. And I start throwing it. I'm like, I like that. That moves that way. Like, I don't have anything that moves that way. And so, he had taught me that, and I still throw it. You're constantly, you know, talking with guys on that. And even, like, the sweeper, like Evan Phillips, a buddy of mine, closer for the Dodgers, or is close for the Dodgers. And he always threw a nasty sweeper, but it was, like, the sweeper before it was cool. And it was, like, before it was, like, yeah, everybody throws
everybody
it.
Everybody just
called it. But everybody had no idea how he threw it. And it was, like, well, that moves a lot. And it's, like... And it was on the horseshoe, and I remember him like, grip. That's why it's so nasty.
Well, you finish up 2019, you play in the COVID season. Maybe you can kind of talk about the seasons after that and kind of where you're at now.
COVID season was a little weird for me. I gave up a grand slam in the first inning of the season. That was nice. Really fun.
Do you remember who it was too?
It was Luke Voit. Loaded the bases.
Led the league in home runs, I think, that year.
Too. Yeah, he was like he's up for MVP. But yeah, gave up a grand slam first inning of the year. I was going through some stuff off field that year, but I had like a 9 ERA. I mean, I guess I could talk to it. My dad passed away that year.
Yeah.
Add another perspective to this. He got diagnosed 2 weeks after the All-Star game with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And so it was one of those things that, you know, 2019, it was like, awesome, great, awesome. I'm on top of the world, ego through the roof. And then it just comes right back down to earth after that. It was humbling and it put everything into perspective, you know, got me closer to my faith and made me realize that, you know, baseball's not everything. And so it kind of helped gain me perspective. It took a while. Yeah, it's 2019. And then 2020 was actually... It was kind of a blessing that we had the quarantine because I got to spend a lot of time with him. We were cooked dinner every night, and so that was cool. So 2020, I ended up going grand slam. I did not start off well, but I was throwing harder than I ever have before. And maybe it was anger, but I started to use my body a little bit more, and I think I was thrown to a mattress all quarantine. So it was like I was the whole quarantine. I wasn't going anywhere, and it was me and my brother, which is really cool too. But my brother was playing. He got drafted in 19 by the Royals, and so he was with the Royals at the time. And so we were at this field down south.
Where we met, John.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's where we were. That's right.
So random, just a bunch of pro guys hanging out at a cornfield.
Literally a cornfield. And my brother loves to bring it up. He hit a bunch of home runs over that street in left field. Yeah. But that was cool because we were kind of like bonding over that, and it was cool. Just like that was the first time we had faced each other, ever. And so. So that was cool, but we were just kind of hanging out, and I started to figure some things out of like actually using my hips and the slope, and I was throwing like I was sitting like 95 the whole year, and I was up to 96, and I was throwing gas, but I had no idea where it was going, and this goes to the point of yes, it's okay to try new things, but sometimes you got to dial it back just a tad.
Yeah, put it together.
Yeah, exactly. But I was throwing really hard, but I was yanking the ball really bad, and everything was over the middle of the plate, and gave a grand slam to start the season, and then I had like a 9 ERA going the last four games, and all of a sudden I dialed it just a tick back, and last four games I shoved. And so it was good going into the off season, and then 21 was another good season for me.
Yep.
But ended up, yeah, doing pretty well. I got hurt a little bit. It was out for like a month and a half with the shoulder stuff, but
yeah,
it seems now is the theme of my career is the injuries.
I met you this off season. You've been kind of rehabbing and all that, so maybe you can talk about like the injuries and how much of a mental battle that is. Because I think a lot of people think it's the physical, but I had a way less serious injury when I was in college, but it was a knee surgery, and you're just like sitting there for like 3 months, and you just can't do the things that you normally do, and you're struggling with things where you're like, I remember the first day after my surgery, they're like, flex your quad, and I couldn't do it. I just had to like sit there and like try to flex my quad for like 30 minutes, and that was what my rehab was for the day.
Yeah, so I hadn't had like minor injuries in my career up to that point, and I had the shoulder thing in 21, but it wasn't too serious, and I was back and finished the season, and then 22, I blew out opening day, and it was a new feeling for me. I had never had elbow issues before that. And then opening day, I was grinding through a start against the Rays and threw a curveball in the fourth inning. I had threw 80-something pitches in four innings. And so just grinding through the fourth, threw a curveball, felt a pop. But it was like in my forearm. And so I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, it's just forearm. Like, you're good. And tried to pitch the next game. And I'm like, that's not just forearm. That really hurts. So
wait, take a step back. So you feel the pop.
Yeah.
You keep pitching.
I'm same velo. The next day I could barely play catch. Like I could like I'm like lobbing the ball like 45 feet, and then I threw a bullpen and I am just grenade tossing these balls.
Just, I'm gonna get through this.
I'm gonna get through. I'll it. Heal it's just up. It's yeah. just a forearm strain. Yeah. Right? That's what I was convincing myself. And then I put so much red hot on my arm to try and get through that second game. And it was honestly like first two innings, I was like, okay, I can do this. 92, 93, fine. And then after the second inning, I feel it again. It was the third. I feel it. Come back out, put more red hot on, go back out for the fourth. 1, 2, 3. Come back. And I'm like, I think my forearm's gone.
So you pitch four innings on a blown UCL in the big leagues.
And my velo never dropped.
That's pretty impressive, John.
Yeah. That was not the case in my second one.
Impressive feat that I've heard thus far.
Yeah. That was tough. Because I did decent well. I had four innings, two runs, something like that. But not terrible. But, yeah, it was bad. I knew it was gone, and then we got in there, and at first they're like, yeah, I think it's just a forearm strain. And then they did the dye test, and he went in there, it was like 90% torn. So it was almost off the bone. Yeah. But, yeah, so I was like, okay, Tommy John, like, everybody goes through this. This is, this is something that happens to pitchers. You come back better. You come back, and so I tried to be the best rehabber of all time, just get really strong. And
Harper would have a a good battle with you on that.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm going to come back. I was like, I'm going to crush this. And I thought I did. I was stronger than I ever was. I had done all the things. And I just had setback after setback after setback. I started feeling it in the long toss portion of the rehab program and felt it, thought it was just scar tissue that I was throwing through. It wasn't, and just continued to hurt over and over again. So I had 5 or 6 setbacks. I thought I was finally going to be back in 23. I had thrown 4 games to end the season, did really well. I was going to pitch the 3rd game in the playoffs for Baltimore, but my elbow was killing me. My elbow was really hurting. We do an MRI, and they're like, yeah, you know, nothing's torn, or just the graft isn't fully matured. I'm like, we're going to do another MRI in 8 weeks. And they do another MRI in 8 weeks. My elbow was in a different angle, and they're like, actually, you have a torn flexor and a torn pronator, and it's almost in the ligament. And I'm like, well, okay, we're halfway through the off season, so they're like, we'll just take a few more weeks off, and you know, and I convinced them that I need an extra month to start the season, just to kind of try and get back and have a regular off season, and then 4 games into that, much different. I was grenade tossing in games where I was throwing like 87, 88, trying to get the ball there. I end up. I do well my first outing. It was like one of the best outings of my career. I'd go 7 shutty with 8 punch outs in the first outing back, and then Malbo was killing me. He wanted me to go out for the 8th, and I was like, I can't do it. I can't. Because I was only at like 80-something pitches. But yeah, the 4th game was in St. Louis, and I knew it when the bullpen, it was gone. The first pitch of the game registers as a slider, like on a TV.
The heater.
87, slider. No, sir, that is a fastball. Just grenade tossing in there. It was gone. My mom was actually at the game, too, that, you know, it was in St. Louis, not far from home, and so... Here we go down the road again. So this is where we're at now, but feel better about it this time. As far as like a mental grind, this game especially can really, really humble you as far as my career can attest to. But you have to have something that you're kind of doing it for. And, you know, you got to have good people around you to kind of motivate you and be there for you. I have a great wife and I've, you know, son, soon to have daughter, so you can do it for them. And honestly, I've been very blessed to be able to be home and be a dad for those. And so you find the positives within it too. So I've been spent way more time at home than any other professional baseball player has the past few years. So that's been nice. But yeah, it's one of those things that it can get you. It can get you mentally, and I can attest to it.
We all played sports, so you know the guys that do not take the rehab seriously and they end up being fine.
Yep.
And so then you're like, oh, that guy didn't do anything right, and he's fine, and then you do everything right, and then it doesn't work out, and it's just one of those things where it's like, things happen.
That's kind of how I was, like, because like I said, I was really strong, and then I started to have setbacks, and I'm like, all these other guys aren't doing anything, and I'm working out over here, I'm done working, and so I went opposite, which is also not good, but I was like, I'm done, I'm just going to try to stretch a lot and be good. Good to go. And
so would you say it was kind of like your velo thing where you like took it really far and then you went to the other extreme? It's probably somewhere
in the middle. Yeah. Exactly. Don't be super yeah, don't go back and forth too far.
John learned that the all or nothing mindset is maybe not the yes. greatest one.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's a consistency.
Just be present.
Yeah, yeah,
just be present, do what you're yeah. supposed to do.
And so maybe to wrap up before we talk about your book pitch that we'll send to Jeff Passan.
I think I gotta jump in just a comparative yeah. story here, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said,
please.
You threw the first pitch and it registered as a slider, and you're like, oh shit, that was a heater. So my last year I was playing in indie ball, and the team we were playing against, manager, he'd been a manager there for 2 years. I'd played against him in the minors and in indie ball, so I knew him pretty well. And so we were playing a Sunday day game. The Saturday night game, they had two other position players go down with injury, couldn't get another guy out soon enough, so he had to activate himself and play. Hadn't seen any kind of playing time in 2 years, just so that they had 9 guys.
Jeez.
And so his first at bat, I throw a heater, you know, I'm feeling good about myself. Throw a heater, he pops it straight up. He goes busting down the line to first. Catcher catches it. He's rounding past me, and he's like, fuck you, Zim. It's been 2 years since I've seen a pitch, and you go, oh, changeup on me? And I was like, Jeremy, buddy, that was a heater. Yeah. And he's like, oh. He's like, okay, I gotcha. But I understand that humbling feeling because I don't know, when we didn't have access to our velos. And I was like, it's like I'm still feeling pretty good. I know I'm getting
if
old.
If your arm feels good, you're
going
hard.
I can still do this. I'm getting in on these guys. Yeah. Like, let's go. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. They're thinking those are change-ups.
Bob's going against Zimmerman's going against the scouting report. It's supposed to be a fastball heavy guy. He's going on change-ups today.
From that day, our shortstop would always fuck with me and be like, they're facing Zim, so they get the change-up and then the super change-up.
Damn it. Now they call that a power change-up.
Power change-up.
You're just throwing a power change-up heavy day.
Yep, absolutely. So. But yeah, sorry. Just had
no, to. Before your book pitch, maybe you can talk about coming in here this offseason.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I knew Bob was close with those guys at P3, and I obviously heard about Premier quite a bit. And so I came in, and it's really going to help. Because I think what a lot of my problem is mechanical. And so we'll see. Yeah, I don't want to go too far in that way. But I think that doing some drills and it's going to be huge for me to get me back to where I want to be. And this is, seems like the place to go for that.
It's been awesome having you in the facility this off season, catching back up. And this leads us to, John Means has a way to fix baseball. And so he's going to give his official pitch to Bob. I've heard it. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, Bob's new to this.
Here we go.
The floor is yours. There are some things I like. There's some things that I think will not go over well. That's okay.
Here's the thing. I feel like I've identified the problem. I just don't know if I've identified the solution to it. I have my best guess.
First step.
I have my best guess. But as far as the problem, so baseball is the only sport in the world where the person with the ball that controls the pace of play is considered to be on defense, right?
Yep.
It's the only sport in the world, besides maybe cricket, but I can get to that in a second. Yep. So basically, by every definition of the word offense, the pitcher is on offense. By every definition of the word defense, the hitter's on defense. He's trying to protect the plate. He's trying to adjust the pitcher. He's trying to take advantage of mistakes. He's on defense. Yep. That's how it's always going to be. So basically in baseball, in a nutshell, is we are cheering for an interception. We are cheering for a pick six. Like, that's the only way we can score is on defense. That's the only way in baseball we can score. We're waiting for the defensive back to do something cool. And that's basically what we're doing. I mean,
or a block in basketball.
Yeah, sure.
Doesn't happen super often.
Exactly. So we're sitting there as fans watching the game. It's like, okay, we don't even care when you're out on the field. We're just waiting for the defense to score. It's like if Patrick Mahomes were to take a drive 75 yards down the field, throw a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce. No one celebrates. They walk off the field. The defense comes on the field. Now we can score. That's what baseball is. That's essentially what baseball is. So that, I feel like, is the problem. The solution, here's my best guess, okay? We have to find a way for the offense to score. We have to find a way for,
in John's words, the true offense.
First of all, like, the conceptualization of that is unique. I haven't heard that before. But
yeah,
keep going.
And that's what most people say. So in cricket, right? I've been getting into cricket lately. But in cricket, the bowler, the pitcher in baseball, bowler in cricket, if he gets the hitter out, the hitter's out for the entire game. So if he gets out one time, if he catches it or if he hits the wickets, then he's out for the whole game. So as a fan, you're watching the game the whole time, right? Because your favorite hitter could be out for the whole game. You might miss him for the rest of the game. As a fan of baseball, you're watching the game and your hitter, okay, he strikes out, who cares? He'll be up 9 hitters. So we got to find a way for the offense to affect the game in a way that people have to pay attention the whole game. I want to make a strikeout a run. I want to make one strikeout equal one run. So therefore, the two-strike approach comes back. Okay?
Can I have a quick question?
Yes.
Are you keeping runs as runs
correct,
two?
Correct,
you just score on both? Okay.
Well, goes into my second rule. But yeah. So I want, if a strikeout becomes a run, it fixes 90% of the problem that we have in baseball of, okay, strikeout or home run or like all or nothing, right? Because the two-strike approach will come back, more defense being played because you don't want to give up a run to the pitcher, right? So we create more baseball just in that run itself.
Okay.
The one issue with that is, okay, well, everybody's just going to turn into like Luis Arraez. Luis Arraez is a great player, but not everybody can be Luis Arraez and just try to poke balls through the infield, not strike out, get a hit, right? And we want to still influence power hitting, right? So the most important pitching stat is strikeouts. That's the most important. I'm learning that really well in free agency. That's all they care about is strikeouts.
They pay for swings and misses.
Exactly. Yeah. So
because strikeouts. You can't. Your next point, sorry, go ahead.
Yes, but yeah, so strikeouts is the most important pitching stat. As far as the hitting stat, the most important stat is extra base hits. Like, if you can hit extra base hits, you are going to get paid a lot of money. Because and obviously, your average has to be high, but if you have a good average and you hit extra base hits, you're OPS, right? Yep. So, the stat I want to make for hitters, every advance base is a run. So, every walk is a run, every hit by pitch, every single is a one. A double's two, a triple three, a homer four. Every stolen base is a run. So you're trying to influence athletes.
So you're playing fantasy baseball on the diamond.
Kind of.
Kind of, but not. Yeah. I mean, yes. I am putting a value on what is valuable,
right,
in baseball. Instead of it being there, it just being luck and like hopefully that this guy can hit this guy in from he's in scoring position. That you can hopefully you can poke one in the outfield and maybe that guy touches home plate. Instead of that being the value in cricket, every time you go, you advance one, it's a run, right? I want to do the same in baseball. I want to you every time you advance a base is a run. And before you, the average score is probably going to be like 35. I looked it up. But that's perfect. That's the I feel like, in my opinion, that's the sweet spot. That's above football, way below basketball. I mean, a quarter of what scoring is bad in basketball. In cricket, they're scoring 200 runs. Like, they're scoring, it's insane, which I'm not super into it, but
it's influencing your
it is, your world. Yes, exactly. And so you want to keep fans engaged, right? Because at the end of the day, like, you want more baseball to be played in baseball, right? And in my opinion, this is the best way to this is the most pure way of baseball to be played because as a fan, you're sitting in the game like, okay, if a strikeout happens, fireworks. Put it on the board. Pitcher celebrating. Like, actually create celebration when you do something well on offense. And that's why I say this is the problem. And this is why I think – do I think it's going to be a problem in the next 5 years? No. But if 30 years, as someone who develops pitching – analytics is going to help offense, always going to help offense, because you are given the answer key. You are given the answers. Every pitcher is going to be throwing 95 to 100 and going to have a nasty sweeper, a nasty four-seam fastball, a nasty two-seam fastball. He's going eventually, 20, 30 years down the road, that's going to happen. And there's not a rule out there that's going to be able to help. You can put whoever you want up to bat. It doesn't matter. Because guess what? Hitting's the hardest thing to do in sports, in all sports, hitting's the hardest thing to do. That's the only way we can score. And it's like, that's insane. Like, so I hear hitting compared to like being a defensive back in football, right? Like, really, really hard to do, being a defensive back in football, like being a corner in football compared to hitting, right? Imagine you're at a football game, and the only way you can score is if the cornerback has an interception or does something well or blocks a pass or whatever. That's all you're watching. But it's the hardest thing to do in all sports is hitting, and that's the only way we can score.
Yeah, I mean, the concept's interesting. I do think you're literally playing fantasy baseball. Like, the point structure's literally
that is
how
it.
They do fantasy.
Yeah.
Biggest takeaway for me is that the person with the ball is actually on defense. So, like, in baseball, which in every other sport they're on offense.
Yeah.
So I actually do like that concept because – you're right. Like, in every other sport, you're waiting for the guy with the ball to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it.
Well, you're not waiting for that, though.
Yeah, or, sorry, the
like
guy
that,
with the ball,
yeah.
Like, if they mess up, those are
correct.
In baseball, like, that's what you're cheering for.
That's what you're cheering for,
yeah.
Is the offense.
It'd be like if you're cheering
fail.
For LeBron James to turn the ball over.
Exactly. That's baseball in a nutshell.
You guys don't do that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, sorry. But I do think It made me think about this one day, and I told John this, I don't know, maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, but I'm a big basketball fan, so they put out a stat where it's like, in basketball today, the average defender has to, it's something like 12 to 14 extra feet compared to like the 90s, 2000s, because everything was played in the post, so everything's like clogged in this one place. Now everybody's fanned out. So they were actually talking about like, defense is way harder. Everybody complains like, hey, nobody plays defense in the NBA. It's like, well, they're just covering way more ground and everybody can shoot. So it's just harder. I think hitting is the same way. Now we got analytics and everybody's got like crazy movement on their fastballs and they're throwing harder and they're throwing like sweepers.
But we're only like all these five, maybe 10 years into.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, this goes back to what we talked about, outlier stuff is a big reason of injury. Like,
how
do you sustain that? But I also think that injury is also going to get figured out. I really do think that they'll figure out a way to help pitchers stay healthier. And so not only do I think what's helping baseball now is that pitchers are getting injured and hitters can actually somewhat keep up.
Yeah.
But once they figure that out, I think there's a way, because guys do it. Like guys, like, I play with Corbin Burns. Guy throws 200 innings every year, stays healthy the entire year, and has outlier stuff. Like, it is possible. I think because it's possible, they'll figure out a way to do it.
But this generation is probably just
the guinea pigs.
The guinea pigs exactly. For it. So they're going
to... Because it's so new, I think that the weighted balls and the new velo is ahead of... They can't keep up. But I think eventually we'll keep up to the health aspect.
How has run production gone... Over the last couple, I don't even know.
It's all up, down, I looked it up.
Same.
I think we did it with passing. There was like one year in baseball. It was like 2000 where it was like 5.1 runs. But everything last year was a little bit of a lower year. I think it was like 4.4. But everything's between 4.4 and 4.8. The last like 20 years.
But it's mostly about how it's created now, right? Because it's less hits and more homers, and you're trying to more power, more.
And strikeouts. That's why like. Frank's not here, so I can actually kind of like get my point now. But it's
sorry, Frank.
Pitchers, no offense.
Didn't attack.
No, pitchers don't give up three hits in a row anymore. Like, so everybody's like, oh, you just gotta like put the ball in play and do this and that. And that. And you're not completely wrong, but I compare it to like in the NBA, right? The average player, they don't want shooting a mid-range jumper anymore because you might as well learn how to shoot a three, because if you can do that at a 35% clip, it's the same as shooting.
Return on investment.
Yeah, return on investment. So if you got a guy that's like, hey, and Luis Arraez is the outlier because he does it at such a high clip. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we can have a guy that hits like 300 with no slug. Well, his run production is actually way less than a guy that, and just pulling these numbers out, but like a guy that's like a 240 hitter that hits a lot of extra base hits. And so it's like, that guy's like getting more hits, but his hits don't mean as much.
Well, maybe. How impactful is the guy behind him?
Exactly. So that's what it comes down to. Now you're depending on somebody else. And so isn't
that basically hate that.
Isn't that the
number one
thing? Yeah.
Putting together a team?
But the point now is like the pitchers are so nasty. It's like, can you depend on three guys constantly every inning to produce a run? Or do you just need like...
You're not going to be able to here in 20 years.
Exactly.
I mean, like,
if you can't, it's hard to do it now.
It's the same thing with a strikeout, right? Like, why are guys that get a lot of strikeouts per inning more valuable than guys that don't? Because you're eliminating the even possibility of something to happen. That's the same thing on the hitting end. When they make contact, it means a lot, even if they don't do it as much. That makes sense. But there's always a line, right? It's just like, pitching, like, hey, walking guys isn't that big of a deal if you strike out a lot. Well, you can't walk, one and a half guys per inning. So,
but some of these like guys that are so nasty, and I get it. It's so hard to do it. Hitting is I tried to get out of it when I was still in the NL and we had to hit still. I don't know if you were still in that.
I caught it. Yeah, I hit
but,
a little bit.
Oh God! But I hated it. They turned the machine up to like 120, and they're like, "Yeah, get in there and bunt off that." And I'd be like, "Ah." Need to tar up my bat, get to the back of the line, or like I hate it. So like I'm not like saying it's easy by any means, but like we were watching, it was either Cleveland or Minnesota, and they had this guy that was just unbelievably disgusting. And I was talking to Shane, and I was like, man, if I was facing this guy, I would just snatch. I would just like sit there and not move, and I guarantee I'm on base. And so we're watching, and he threw 17 straight balls out of the K zone on TV. Mm-hmm. Didn't get one called strike, but struck out the side without walking a guy.
Yeah.
And so, like, how many guys can actually, like, get people out in the zone? And usually the answer to that is those big-time starters. It's,
yep.
You know,
yeah.
Burns.
Like, you have to, yeah.
So, like, being able to more, like, defend those super nasty outlier guys by, like, making them be more efficient and more effective without, like, giving them those free passes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Or make a strikeout a run.
I mean,
make
a
strikeout
run. Like, I don't know that, I mean.
It would change how, because Jeff Passan talked about this. Players will do what teams incentivize. So if that were the case, then, yeah, like, guys that just make contact will all of a sudden be.
But not if you're still getting awarded for extra base hits.
Yeah.
But I think that it'll just weed out the guys that are just strikeout or home run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it'll weed out which baseball needs to do anyway,
yeah,
to be able to create more fan engagement. And I think that allowing a stolen base to be of value is going to create more athletes. I think that there's going to be more athletes in the game. I think that – I just think there's going to be – I'm trying to look at baseball and, you know, create a game that I would want to see, knowing what I know now. Because back in the day when baseball was created, it was like the pitchers just kind of laid it in there. Like, it wasn't like –
and they only threw fastballs.
Yeah, and it was just like, here you go. Because they want action. They want to – you know, you want the hitter to hit it. Now the – name of the game is to not let the hitter touch the ball.
Yeah.
And so if you're just sitting up there, and like I said, we're 5 to 10 years into this pitch design era. We 20 years down the road, nobody's going to – they could – like they're doing this golden at bat rule. It's like, put whoever you want up there. I don't – they're not going to touch whoever's going to be pitching in 20 years.
Yeah, and I think, you know, players will adapt. And that's how it always happens. Like, used to be, okay, everybody was like a sinker slider guy. And you can look at, like, in the 80s and 90s, guys were more hunched over because everything's going down. Guys have more of a posture up in the plate, like with their stance, because guys are throwing fastballs up.
But now guys, I mean, some guys are able to throw a nasty four-seam and a nasty sinker.
100%.
And so it's like when they're able to do that, now, I mean, we're just learning about the sweeper a few years back. We're learning about the one seam with the bald spot on it to like, we're learning these things in real time, and then once we start to figure out even more coming, it's going to be, guys are going to have outlier pitches, four of them, like they're just going to go out there and have four outlier pitches. It's coming, like you talk about pro day, it's, everybody's throwing over 90.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You should stop by. It's insane.
I also do think, like, we, as baseball players, we've been doing these things. Like, we've been throwing the sweeper for years. We just haven't quantified it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We've been throwing seam shift sinkers for years. We used to call it the snake ball.
Yeah.
You know, like, these things happen. But you're right. Now that we can quantify it and see how to do it, like, more people can do it. Yeah. You know, it used to be that one unique guy. Like, oh, man, he can do the snake every time. That's sick.
And there's more athletes in pitching now because it's like, okay, we – this guy can throw 100 miles an hour. And it used
you're
to be like
there's more athletes than hitters, right? Just to
yeah, all right, let's all calm down here. Let's all calm down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have. Sorry. Yeah, not.
I mean, you look at the best pitch. They're freak athletes now because now, okay, they know how to create velo, and they knew you have to be powerful athlete to be able to do that. And now they're getting those guys in the zone. They're getting those guys second, third, fourth pitch, and so it's just. Pitchers are going to get more and more athletic. They're going to get more. There's going to be more and more velo, and there's going to be more and more outlier pitches to go along with it.
I guess this is the positive, and I understand when people are like, "Hey, this is more boring to watch than it was, you know, whatever." But I also think people are just nostalgic about things that they like grew up with.
The problem is the nostalgia. Those people are kind of going away. The older generation and the younger generation's kind of like, man,
yeah. But the thing is like what we talked about, like runs have relatively stayed the same. So my argument is that hitters are like way better than they've ever been. Like we can, you know,
absolutely
like be nostalgic about, but it's like, hey, runs are still getting scored somewhere in that 4.4 to 4.8 range, and it has the last 20 years, and guys are like it's just vastly better than it was when I was growing up in baseball that we were watching. And that's how sports should be.
Yeah,
you know, that's how it goes. That's human body works. And so I still think hitters will
adapt.
Will adapt. They're going to adapt because they're going to start seeing these things. Like, guys are seeing 92 in high school.
You see eye pitch.
Yeah, like, yeah. We use the eye pitch every day here with like the hitters here.
I saw it in your college guys this summer.
Yeah.
Day one of live first pitchers versus 3 weeks in after they were using the eye pitch for 3 weeks. And it was like every bat was so competitive versus day one, like, pitchers overwhelming guys. Yeah. But just over reps and the cognitive process of seeing that, like, they're naturally improving.
Yeah, like, guys are going to get better. That's a bright spot. Now, the argument is it's just more boring to watch, which is fine. I get that. Now, for me, I love baseball.
I love it,
so
too.
I'm gonna watch it.
I'm in the top 1% of the 1% of loving baseball, which is why I want to do this.
Yeah, and so it's like, I get it, and I understand it's like, hey, it's more boring to watch, but it's like, I just look at it, and I just think it's super impressive that we can score 4.5 runs on guys that are throwing.
Anytime they get a hit, I'm like,
it's like, it's insane.
But they are so good, and they do it consistently.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I guess my thing is, we love watching baseball because we look at all the little things that happen within the game. Like, we he took that extra base, or he, Like, we break those things down. And the average fan or the person, like the new fan into baseball, doesn't care about any of that because all they care about is who hits home plate. Correct. And if that doesn't happen, then they could care less. So most of the game, they're just sitting there not worrying about it. But for us, we're like, oh, he threw a slider there. Like, he threw that last at bat. Let's see if he hits it this time. Yeah, yeah. Like, we're breaking down the game from a baseball mind perspective. And I think that, which makes it super interesting. I love breaking it out. I love watching it. I just want to add value to the things that we care about, like stolen bases and singles. And like a two-out single is just like, all right, I'm already shut off. Are they going to do that two more times? Probably not.
Like, just like Quentin Gardner got that two-out single.
Oh, bummer.
It doesn't matter. It's a single with two outs.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but no,
sorry, John.
I think you bring up good points. I don't think that would ever get passed because a lot of baseball purists shit their pants when they put a 15-second time on the pitcher.
Yeah.
So the odds of them saying we're going to change how scoring goes is so low.
So agreed. Here's one thing I'll get on your train about. So my son's 7, and so they do T-ball and just started machine pitch and. Like, we're trying to explain to him baseball, and they're watching, trying to watch a game to explain, and, like, within 3 pitches, we have lost 100% engagement.
Yeah.
I guarantee if we explain the rules, as John put it.
Exactly.
Our 7-year-old
The youth would absolutely.
Then get more engaged.
Yes.
Like, I do agree with that. Like, the engagement would be more because they're like, oh, something can happen right here.
Yeah, they could score.
Versus, like, nothing's probably going to happen. Oh, another pitch, another or 2-2. Like,
we used to do that when I was a college coach. We'd just call them, like, 90-foot scrimmages. So, like, you'd split guys into, like, 3 teams, like an offensive base running and a defensive team, and then you just play innings, and every 90 feet you get is basically a point for your team.
It's a lot of fun. Isn't it?
It's hard to – I will tell you, it's hard to score.
It's easy to score if there's a scoreboard right there, and you can just have a guy just saying, okay.
But it does give you – because you're just trying to help players, know the value of, like, hey, like when you
– getting on base.
When you get on base and you see a dirted ball and you go, or you, like, look to see – you take that extra hard round and then, like, the outfielders, like, pop. You're just taking that extra, and then it actually leads to a real run,
Defense becomes way more important because if you get to second, it doesn't matter if he bobbles it or not, that's 2 runs. Like, that's, like, defense becomes more. I feel like defense now is kind of like, okay, we can put.
Yeah, it's not priority.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of going back to the basketball analogy I made. Like, it used to be like, hey, let's just get a shortstop that's awesome, and he's going to hit 250 with a bunch of singles, and then he's just going to get all that. Well, they just basically quantified, like, hey, if we just get an average fielding guy at this position, but he rakes, then we score more
because
runs.
Yeah, exactly. But like, if they're trying to put the ball in play, then he's going to be more useful. And if it's a run, if you get on first, those defensive run saves will go through the roof, which is what people want to watch.
Yeah,
it's
so
the
your,
ball in play.
Your basic argument is to change the value system so that different things become.
The valuable things are actually, there's value to them.
Yeah.
Appreciate
you put a value on what's valuable.
And different, like, player archetypes become valuable again.
It's the same ones. You are paying the same. Like, the best players are still the best players.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
role players change.
Well, no.
Not
I think
like,
so.
Now all of a maybe, sudden, like, a right fielder that's hitting 30 jacks and driving in 100 runs is probably working to improve his defense now, too.
Yeah.
Where, yeah. You
might not.
You want to become more athletic in this game, in this, which is what baseball is kind of like. You just, the prototype is like you go up there and you swing for the fence. If you don't hit it, and you're going to go walk out to your right field position, and it's like, okay, I'm going to try that again, another 9 at batters, and we're going to see if I can hit one out. You know, it's like, we need more athletes. I mean, we are. With the new stolen base rule, or like the pickoff rule to allow more stolen bases, like the Bobby Witt Jr. And like, it's way more fun this way. I think that the rules are helping that they're making, but I don't think it fixes the root of the problem, and it's not dissecting the problem, which is the offense.
We've learned that just John is an all or nothing guy.
Yes.
And so we have to.
Yes, have to.
Yeah, but I do like it. We gotta admit the identity of the offense before we admit the problem.
Yeah. Yes, that is the problem. The offense is an inconvenience in baseball.
As
far as a fan goes, like you're an inconvenience. Like as a pitcher, it's like you're trying your best to be an inconvenience.
Which is funny because I'm always like, man, they got it so right 150 years ago when they invented this sport. Like they nailed it.
I mean, it is crazy how perfect 90 feet is and how perfect 60 feet is. Yeah. It is perfect, the perfect distance.
It's
of like
Bob Gibson came along and struck everybody out. I'm like, we need to lower this mound.
Yeah.
What, the 4-foot mounds aren't good.
From the Rocky Mountains.
So, but, well, yeah.
There John, you go.
We appreciate Changed your book me. Pitch. We'll let Jeff know, and he can. Can I give you a title for your book?
Let's hear it.
Okay, it's the pitching the true offense.
The true offense.
There we go.
You
go.
I like and it. I think you just go the with that. Offense.
There you go.
And you know, it was good having you in so far this off season. And when I'm working with my hitters, he's always asking me how's defensive practice going. So that was good.
I love
so.
It. That's great. Well, let's understand the humility and how the game can humble you very quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I understand it very well, and you've also had that and. I think we all get it at some point, so it's how do we persevere out of that, right?
Just keep on trucking.
Yep.
So, well, it's going to be good to have you rest the off season, and it'll be awesome to see you start throwing once that starts going.
And that's it for another episode of Backfield Banter. Like and subscribe.